Good evening. It is 7 o'clock. You're listening to KCAW Raven Radio here in Sitka. I'm Ed Ronco, and tonight is the last in our series of live election call-ins, and we will be talking tonight with Public Works Director Michael Harmon, City Operations Manager Scott Berlinski, and City Finance Director Dave Wolf. We'll also be taking your calls tonight. The number to call if you have a question for our panel is 747-5877. You can also email your comments or questions to news@kcaw.org. We're talking tonight about the two ballot propositions next week. Municipal elections are, of course, set for October 6th. There are two questions on the ballot. Prop 1 is to approve $7 million in general obligation bonds for road reconstruction. Prop 2 is to raise the local sales tax 0.5% year-round to pay for the bonds. We'll be talking about both of those for roughly the next hour. Once again, if you're listening and you'd like to call in with a question, 747-5877, the number to call, or you can email those questions to news@kcaw.org. One last little bit of housekeeping notes here before we begin. Our panel is not here tonight to lobby for a yes or a no vote on the ballot questions. They're not here as advocates. They are here to answer your questions based on their various areas of expertise. So with that, let's just jump right in here and give some quick background. Michael, let me just ask you if you can kind of define what is the project that needs to be done, and how is it going to happen?
Well, really, this is a long-term project that needs to be done, and it's grown over time. The preventative maintenance associated to our roads has been lacking over the last 20 years. A lot of our roads were done at the same period of time back in the early to mid 80s, and there hasn't been a lot of preventative maintenance going on the roads since then. So this project has grown over time, and Scott Berlinski, with our operations chief, has done a good job over the last couple of years to look at our entire road system, to put together a ranking system, to look at the areas that are failing and identifying that and identifying the needs in our road system. And we have 23 miles of paved roads in Sitka, and approximately half of those, a little bit over actually, 12 miles are nearing the end of their useful life. And we've identified that and recognized that we need to move forward with some improvements. And this bond package brings together $7 million. And with $7 million, we looked at a five-year program to accomplish getting back on top of the road preventative maintenance and some reconstruction. We came up with about 3 miles of roads. That's our high priority to do. That fits within the realm of this $7 million. So that puts the parameters around the project. We have many more roads to do. As I said, there's 12 miles that are reaching the end of their useful life. So we got to continue our program and our preventative maintenance and elevate that in the system. So the project will always continue to go, but this specific bond would be a five-year program. We would do segments of road each year. Each summer season is mainly your construction window to do road pavement work. So we'll try and hit it each year, and it ranges dollar amounts by each year, where some years it's $1 million all the way up to $2 million in the different seasons. And we try and focus that in areas. You don't want to spread out the contractor, so we look at trying to focus them in areas of town where they can get the most work done for the reasonable window and amount of dollars we have to work with in any given construction season.
And in terms of this project, we're talking about roads that these are city roads. Just to clarify, you know, the major roads here in Sitka are state-owned. Halibut Point Road, Sawmill Creek Road, Harbor Drive, I think, too, right, as well as the roundabout?
That's correct.
And so these are city streets. Scott, can you kind of fill us in on where exactly these repairs need to be made? What streets are we talking about, and what rough areas of town?
Yeah, the streets that we've identified as the highest priority for reconstruction are on the downtown area, Lincoln Street, Baranoff Street, and Jeff Davis Street. And then moving more still in the downtown area, but moving into the residential neighborhoods, would be Monastery Street, Verstovia Avenue, Edgecombe Drive, and Kimsham Street.
Okay, and so these are extensive repairs that need to be done. How have roads been maintained in the past in Sitka? What's kind of been the procedure?
There's kind of four general categories of sort of road repair or maintenance. You know, the first would be reactive maintenance, which is what we have had a program in. That's basically, you know, you react to something that breaks, like a pothole or a seam opening up. We either fill the pothole or spray patch that open seam. The next category is preventative maintenance, and that's been the category that's really been historically lacking, and that's where you do something to the road to preserve its life before it shows signs of visible deterioration. There's a variety of different treatments that are done, from, you know, lesser intensive and lesser expense to more intensive. You know, sealing of the roads fits into that. The chip seal project that we did on Lake Street late this summer fits into that. The next category would be a rehabilitation, and then next beyond that is reconstruction. So, you know, each of these is progressively more expensive. So the plan before the voters is for basically a rehabilitation of certain of the roads and reconstruction of others that are in the most deteriorated condition.
Okay, so these sound like medium and high priority projects.
Yes.
Okay. Most of the paving of Sitka's residential streets is, you know, relatively recent. How much of the local road system was paved at the state's expense? Who can field that? I'm not quite sure. That sounds like a question for all three of you.
Well, I'll jump in there. A large portion of the roads done in the mid-80s, which I don't have the miles in front of me, but it was the lion's share of the roads for the city, not the state roads, were done at that time, and that was through state funding. There was oil money through the state that created a funding for that. And back in that time, many of those roads were gravel. So, you know, there was controversy back in that time. Do we want to go away from gravel roads? Is that really the right fit for Sitka, even though the money was out there to do it and the decision was made to go ahead and transfer those over to a paved surface and get it done, and took advantage of those state funds?
What's the lifespan of pavement on a residential street?
It's typically, you're hoping to get 20 years out of it, but you really should be out there in 15 years on an average to do some type of preventative maintenance to it. And depending on the use and the condition of the subgrade underneath, you could possibly need to be out there in 10 years. The key is to do exactly what Scott's been working on over the last 2 years, is to create a management program where you're watching your pavement, you're tracking it, you're looking for deterioration, identifying it, and keeping on top of programming some type of preventative maintenance. It's really similar to the roof in your house. It's not glamorous. Nobody wants to replace their roof, but we all know when you let it go and don't keep the maintenance up on it, what kind of deterioration you're looking at and what type of long-term cost to replace it versus maintain it that you typically look at. Very similar dynamic.
All right, you're listening to a live listener forum here on KCAW Raven Radio. We're talking about the two questions on next week's ballot. Prop 1, about $7 million in bonds for road reconstruction. Prop 2, raising the local sales tax 0.5% to pay for those bonds. And we're chatting with Public Works Director Michael Harmon, Operations Manager Scott Berlinski, and City Finance Director Dave Wolf. If you have a question or comment, the number is 747-5877. And you can also email your questions to news@kcaw.org. Dave Wolf, I want to bring you into the conversation here. We know that some city departments use sinking funds to pay for the replacement of capital equipment. First of all, let's just, if you could quickly define kind of what a sinking fund is. What does that term mean? And then we'll talk about its impact or prevalence on road repairs. But what is a sinking fund?
Sinking fund acts like an annuity. We set aside so much money. We do this in the central garage when we buy a vehicle. We figure out what its useful life is, and then we figure out how much money you need to put aside based on the amount of interest we can earn. And then that amount of money is charged to whosoever home department that vehicle is. And then you build the money up so when the vehicle, say a pickup in 10 years, ended its useful life, the amount of money is there to replace it with on that. So that's, we have a sinking fund sitting there, and basically in central garage.
Was that ever considered for road repairs?
No, we've not.
Okay, we have a caller on the line. I believe Chris is with us. Chris, good evening. What's on your mind?
Hi, yeah, this is Chris Briner, and I was part of a group that was looking at a Safe Routes to School program, and essentially what that did was we tried to identify routes near each of the public schools, K through 8, that could be improved for bicycling and walking for kids. And I wondered if with the bond funding, et cetera, or the improvements that will be made to these roads, several of which are right near some schools, Manedgecombe Drive in particular, and potentially Monastery, what, if any, provisions are made to potentially improve walking and biking access and safety on those roads as well as motor vehicles?
All right. Thank you, Chris. Michael Harmon, that's a good question. What improvements, if any, are going to be made in this round of repairs?
Primarily, the focus for the projects that have been identified is to keep what we have and to maintain what we have in the basic function of it. So when you look at Edgecombe Drive, it would be simply to repair what's there, more or less. We certainly will be looking at sidewalks to make sure they're within ADA compliancy and things of that nature. When you move to a street like Baranoff, there are missing segments of sidewalk and some improvements that could be done there to get that connected and identify routes for walking. And we also look to identify drainage improvements, utility improvements while we're paving these roads. We don't want to have to dig them back up again, so we look at that as well, which that's funded through the different enterprise funds, water and sewer funds as well for the utilities.
All right. How many miles of road does $7 million buy?
$7 million under this program buys 3.1 miles of improvements. Now, that's a combination of reconstruct and overlay. You get much more out of an overlay, which is a preventative maintenance. If the road's still in good enough condition, we get on it early enough, and you do that, your cost is about, you know, we put that out at about $90 a square yard for an overlay versus a reconstruct is $400. So Edgecombe Drive, for instance, many would look at that and say, well, that's in better shape than some of our roads, but it's a high-use road, and the cost savings, if you look at it and we get on it and do an overlay now instead of needing to do a reconstruct, makes good sense.
So I guess it goes without saying that the lifespan of some of these projects or some of these roads is going to vary depending on how often they're used, how many people go up and down them every day, that kind of thing.
Correct.
Okay. Back to the finance issue here, just some more questions about that. I guess, Dave, can you give us kind of a general picture of the debt service Sitkins are paying right now?
The GO bonds we have now are mainly have been school projects that we've done since year 2000, of which if it's repairs and maintenance, the state pays 70% of our debt service, reimburses it for it, and if it's a new construction, they reimburse us for 60. So we have about 34 million GO bonds right now. So actually we only owe about, the citizens here only owe about $10 or $11 million of that. The state covers the rest of that when we make the debt payments and we bill them for the difference. That's the main debt in the general fund on that there. The other debts are in the enterprise funds between the electric, water, and wastewater. So,
all right, 747-5877 if you have a question for Michael Harmon, Dave Wolf, or Scott Berlinski. We're talking about the ballot questions that are coming up in next week's election. Basically, a road repair question. Two questions, $7 million in bonds to finance those repairs, and then a 0.5% increase in the local sales tax to pay for those bonds. The sales tax has gone up before for other projects. How is the debt service faring on the other projects that were funded by the existing seasonal 1% hike? Dave?
That fund has been growing faster than what we projected back in the 2004, the first bond issue at that time. So we will more than likely be able to pay off all the, we'll be taking a look at the higher interest bonds, and after 10 years we can call what's ever there, and it looks like we may be able to get those called a lot sooner than what we were. So then that would be able to take that extra 1% off during the summertime once we get all that debt service done. Then it's written right in there that the administrator has to inform the assembly within the quarter that there will be enough money built in there that all the bonds will be paid off. So
we've heard a lot about a decline in sales tax revenues. Will that affect the schedule at which those are paid off, or will that affect meeting those obligations?
Not meeting them, it may take us a little bit longer to get them paid off on that if we don't, you know, we're seeing a decline, especially in the second, third quarter. That's the major time when the cruise ship industry's in here, the charter industry's in here. So we were putting away a nice sum of money every year into the debt service fund, and that's going to slow down a little bit, but we're still got more than enough money to make the debt payments.
All right. 747-5877 if you have a question. We're talking about the two ballot proposition questions that will be coming up in next week's municipal elections dealing with road repair. You can also email those questions to news@kcaw.org. Scott, you're out on those roads a lot. You're looking around town probably more than anybody in the room here. Jeff Davis, Lincoln, Baranoff Streets scheduled for complete reconstruction. How do you determine the extent of repairs needed for a given road?
Well, if we look at the road system as a, you know, just one sort of entire piece of inventory, there's an evaluation system that's an industry standard nationally of basically how you evaluate pavement distress, and there's five different factors in that. You know, there's alligator cracking, transverse cracking, longitudinal cracking, edge cracking, and one other one, I forget what it is.
Alligator cracking?
And actually, that's a pretty common one that you'll see on roads oftentimes in the tire rut lane, you know, that area. It just looks like alligator's back. You know, you can see where that pavement's breaking down. So we drive the roads about every 2 years and evaluate each segment of road on those five factors and then enter that into a program. And then there's some formulas in that program that basically, based on the types of fatigue and the extent of that fatigue, you know, both the type and extent, then it assigns a remaining service life in years to that road segment based on those factors.
Kashevarov Street was overlaid this summer. Lake Street received some chip seal. What was the difference between those two projects?
Lake Street you said you're new to town. So Lake Street's one of those roads that didn't have any notable deterioration. That would have been one where a person might say, why are you doing something to that road? It's in pretty good shape. So it's about 12 years old, had a RSL of about 8 to 10, and it was kind of in the sweet spot as far as getting a lot of value for preventative maintenance treatment. Just a little bit more background. Pavement, the life of pavement, in its first three quarters of its life, it deteriorates relatively slowly, and then that last quarter, the deterioration is pretty rapid. So you want to catch it right before that period of rapid deterioration starts. So the Kashevirov Street was more deteriorated, and we also got just a very good offer on from the asphalt vendor, had a lull in his work, and he offers a very good price to do a grind and overlay of that. So those, both the condition of the road combined with the value we were able to get for the asphalt led to that one getting
overlay. It's kind of like you want to fix those cracks in the ceiling before the roof caves in.
Exactly.
Okay. will the bond package pay for chip seal on any streets, Michael? Is that?
Well, we have grind and overlay is what's costed out to try and maintain an asphalt surface and not do chip seal. So we do not have that programmed at this point, no.
Okay. Chip seal, I know, received mixed reviews when the state applied it to Halibut Point Road 2 years ago. What lessons did the Public Works Department learn from that project, Michael?
Well, you're predating me in the position of working for the city, so I couldn't exactly say what all the turmoil was generated off of that. But what I can say is looking at how that is held up, and it certainly has sealed up that road. And I think it's accomplished the intent that the DOT wanted to do, and that's to extend the life of the current system until they can get in there and really do it right and overlay it with asphalt, which is currently planned on DOT. They have that on the state transportation plan. So,
all right. Well, of course, next week you're being asked to head to the ballot box and decide on two assembly candidates and two school board candidates and also two ballot questions, which is what we're discussing tonight. This is a live forum on KCAW Raven Radio. We'd like you to call in with your questions about road repair in Sitka, specifically these two questions. Some pretty interesting things, and you're going to be seeing it out there if these propositions pass. They both need to pass. Is that correct? They both need to pass in order for either one to go into effect?
Correct.
Okay. So if you have questions or comments, 747-5877. Or you can email us, news@kcaw.org. Under the previous Public Works Director, Joe Castro, the department rolled out a strategy for staying ahead of road maintenance, repairing streets before they became seriously damaged, which is what we've just been talking about, this idea that you want to kind of cure the symptoms before it turns into a full-blown disease here. And I just wonder, is that plan still in effect?
Correct. That will still be a supplement to the bond itself, as we want to push forward on preventative maintenance. And depending on what the funding allows, as we put that forth for the assembly and for the budget to look at, that will dictate what type of preventative maintenance we can do. You certainly get a lot of bang for the buck out of the chip seal. So when in looking at what type of revenues we have to work with, that's when that becomes an attractive option versus doing nothing. We all recognize how we pay for doing nothing, so that's just not an option we want to pursue. And so that's when something like a chip seal becomes popular. Let it hold over until we can get in and do further overlays with asphalt, maybe further down the line when funding's available.
You know, it's interesting the way city and really city, county, state, federal government projects are funded, because oftentimes the idea of the project spans over more years than you can see in the economic future and those kinds of things. Dave Wolf, how do you kind of balance that adapting to changing economic conditions with these long-term projects that need to be undertaken?
Well, the one way is to, as next Tuesday is going to happen, go in front of the voters and ask to basically borrow up front to do this, knowing that your normal revenue stream, or even if it takes a decrease, that there's still revenue there to cover the debt service and everything else. That's my base thing if you're looking at that.
If the bond package doesn't pass, is there an alternative to raising that funding needed to repair the roads without going into debt?
Well, one thing I would bring up on that is the roads are continuing to be pushed. You know, I'm always going to push them as a high priority given the condition. And it's something that we'll be putting on the legislative priorities and trying to go for state and federal funding. And certainly having a program like this together that shows backed by the public, you know, voting for a tax increase like this and saying, hey, identifying this as a need, that certainly is a nice program to be able to show as we go through the legislative priorities program, to show it as a need, to identify, okay, this does 3 miles out of our 12 miles that is failing. We need more. We need to do more with this. What can you do to work with us? You know, and there's all kinds of options in that. This type of project attracts the stimulus funds. They're looking for projects that can turn dirt right away and stimulate the economy. And this type of project can roll off the shelf pretty quickly, and with a funding package to do that and get something rolling. I'm hoping to push for, you know, some type of monies going into this. Maybe they can support the bond in some attractive way, or any type of options we can look at to track more funding and continue to grow a program like this over time.
Are there funding sources? You know, maybe it would be helpful for folks just to know, are there funding sources that are easier to get than others? Is it easier, say, to ask the voters for more money than to ask the state for money, than to ask the federal government for money?
Roads right now are a very difficult thing to get money for. The main focus in the money right now coming through the federal government and streaming into the states is more stimulus-based, so that's where you can get in there a little bit in a project that you're turning dirt right away and stimulating the economy. That's kind of the angle you're trying to get in, but as far as straight grants and things like this just aren't the glamour projects, if you will. And again, it's like doing the roof in your house. It just isn't the one that you're showing off to your neighbors and your buddies that it's an exciting project, and those are really the ones that attract the grants.
It's the thing everybody notices when they go wrong, but the things that nobody notices when they're done right. Is that kind of the case here?
Right. When it's done right, you don't even know it's there. You just go to and from work and think about better things.
Would the Public Works Department ever allow paved streets to revert to gravel? Is that a feasible option? Is that anywhere in the plan?
That wouldn't be a recommendation coming from the Public Works Department. The maintenance associated to gravel roads and the rutting and drainage problems and everything you get out in our climate, it is just ideal to contain that runoff and keep it into drainage systems and keep a hard surface on what you're driving on instead of mud and dust. And anybody who lives up Indian River Road and enjoyed the gravel roads up there probably know what I'm referring to.
All right. Well, gentlemen, the phone lines are quiet, and we've covered. This is a pretty straightforward topic. Let's just be honest about that. So, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. Just to remind everybody that the elections are October 6th, and you will be deciding, among other things, two ballot questions. Prop 1 is $7 million in general obligation bonds for road reconstruction. Prop 2 is raise the local sales tax 1.5% year round to pay for those bonds. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, nice to be here.
All right. You've been listening to a live election forum on KCAW, Raven Radio in Sitka. We're going to send you back to some music, and that should take you up to 8 o'clock, after which we'll have a quick update from the BBC, and then we'll go back to regular programming. Once again, thanks to everybody. Thanks to Chris for calling in. Thanks to our three gentlemen here, Michael Harmon, our Public Works Director, Scott Berlinski, Operations Manager for the City of Sitka, and City Finance Director Dave Wolf. Thanks to them for being here. Thank you for listening tonight. Melissa Marconi-Wenzel answered the phones. Robert Woolsey helped with preparation for this. And once again, this has been a special presentation of Raven News. Have a good evening.